Assistant coach of the perfect 14-0 Edmonton Rush joins us. Mr. Quinlan, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. I can't fix a well either.
No, it's very few people can do. Those guys, man, I would say that's a very stable career when you get into that sort of thing, plumbing, because everybody always needs it, and most guys have no clue how to fix it. Like, I can fix a basic drip at the house. That's pretty much
it. That's why they get like $1,000 an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah, sure, it's good. Jimmy, not the best game for the Edmonton Rush, but you won, and obviously that's still better. Do you think as a coach, is it better to win a game when you play bad? Or is it? Or do you say, yeah, sometimes you can get one of those character moral victory losses?
Well, I think you're always happy when you win, but you know, that's a good question. You know, whether you learn more from the loss or you learn more from a bad win. I think for our team, I think they got the message pretty loud and clear. Saturday night there when Coach Keenan came in the room, I was kind of in the room early before some of the players came in, and you could hear some of them, you know, whispering and muttering that they didn't want to hear Coach's speech tonight because they kind of knew what was coming down the pipe. So, I think the way we've rebounded so far this year that they got the message, and we'll be a lot better this weekend.
What was it that the coaching staff didn't like?
Well, I think it was just the overall effort. If you look at really any of the games we'd played up until that point, we hadn't been outworked. And if we had been outworked, it was only for, you know, little bits of the game. And for the most part, we really didn't play 60 minutes. We probably maybe played 15, and we were fortunate where some goals came to us easy, and we just didn't work. It was plain and simple. And then, you know, when we start talking about our principles and our details and the things we pride ourselves on, we were bad in that area as well. So I think you start with your goalie, and Aaron Bold needs to be better, and then our defense needs to be better, and then our offense needs to be better, and then we need to be better in the areas of the game of transitioning the ball offensively and defensively. So we'll take the win, but obviously there's lots of room for us to get better.
Jimmy, you've been on both sides of the playing and coaching carousel now. You know what? To me, when you go on a run like this, you never apologize for it, but from a coaching position, it's got to be difficult. Yeah, you'd rather be undefeated than be mucking and grinding like you guys usually are. But the fact is, that comes with a particular set of challenges. And you've got to be real mentally tough and real disciplined not to sort of show up now and again thinking, you know what, we're just going to win, not doing the things that got you there in the first place. Is that really the challenge? Does a reality check like this help meet that challenge?
I think the reality check definitely helps. I know for me, you know, those games were challenges to play in. And from a coach, I think what really is frustrating is you know the potential that your team can play at, and you've got those expectations of those players. And for the most part, our guys had met those expectations, you know, each and every night this year, and we had found that consistency. So then to have an off night, it was disappointing, and it was frustrating because for the most part we had worked our way out of those situations earlier in the season, but I think we're just going to chalk it up to a one-off, and we'll be better going forward. So I definitely think that you know, having a young team, we've learned from it, and hopefully this weekend we take those experiences we had Saturday night where we didn't play 60 minutes, and then we get better and we go out and we do a job, and that's to take care of Colorado and then take care of Calgary on Saturday.
Jimmy Quinlan, assistant coach of the Rush, joined us on the road for back-to-back games in Colorado Friday and Calgary on Saturday. Jimmy, being only a year removed, the road trips. You've done the back-to-back where you play in Buffalo and then bus that night to Toronto and go to sleep. Then you do the one like the guys are going to have to do this week where you play in Colorado, sleep there for limited time, then have to get that early morning flight to Calgary to play. That, to me, seems like a much harder travel for a player. Is it more taxing? Do you notice a difference, that one, compared to busing right after the game and getting in at 1 or 2?
Yeah, I agree. It's way harder. It's harder in the sense that you usually don't sleep as a player after the game. I enjoy that as a coach. Usually I can get to bed a little bit earlier because my heart's maybe not pumping as fast. But as a player, you don't get to sleep right away. So the bus ride really allows you an opportunity to unwind. You do get into the city a little bit later, but you got to stay in bed a little bit longer. Usually, depending on the situation and the team, you might forego the shoot around, and guys can really get their 8 hours of sleep all in one. And, you know, the flight, well, you're going to have an interrupted sleep where you probably get back to the hotel after the game somewhere close to midnight after you eat. you only sleep maybe 2-3 hours, then you got to be on the plane. You'll probably try to catch some sleep there, and you're really just patching it together all day, and it is a lot more taxing on the body and a lot more of a grind. So, we're happy we've got a young team with young legs, and we've got some able bodies that can come in and contribute should we need them on Saturday. And really, at the end of the day, we got to throw the excuses out. It is harder than the bus ride, but every team in the league does it, and that shouldn't be the reason why you win or lose.
Jimmy, we've touched on this before, and you just mentioned it now indirectly. Guys who can come in and play. It seems to me you get a back-to-back situation like this, or just the grind of a regular season. This looks like a deeper club in terms of not losing too much when you bring other guys in. Is that going to be a key? Has it been a key, and is it going to continue to be one for the rest of the duration of the season?
I think it has been a key, and it's nice for, as a coaching staff, to have the confidence in your players to put them in. I would attribute a lot of that to the system we play, both offensively and defensively. Offensively, Jeff McComb's got the guys buying into a system where everyone contributes and everyone works and everyone does the little things. It's not based around one superstar carrying the ball, so it's everyone sharing the ball and making the ball do the work. And defensively, it's the same thing. Our defense is built around principles, and I think because of our systems, we're able to slide players in and out, and as long as they understand the system and they're athletic and they trust in each other and their teammates in the system, then they can go in and have success. So I would really, attribute a lot of our success and our depth this year to Derek Keenan, having a vision at the beginning of the season and following through and executing it.
Jimmy Quinlan joins us, assistant coach of the Edmonton Rush. Jimmy, this will be the fourth time you face Colorado. You're 3-0 against them. You just saw them this past weekend. And as you mentioned, you didn't like the way your team played. How do you want to defensively attack them differently this weekend than you did last?
Well, I think the big thing is get our defense on the floor 5-on-5. We really only allowed, I believe, 3 goals 5-on-5. Everything else came in early offense transition, power plays, and 6-on-5s. And that's where they seem to be playing a lot better. Is they're pushing the tempo. They're not afraid to trade chances, and they have been good at playing kind of a chaotic style lacrosse, which, as long as we're dictating the chaos, we're good, but if it's on the other end, we're not. So we really just want to make sure that we're being responsible in our details, getting our offense on the floor, working their defense for 30 seconds, and then making sure we can get our five horses on the floor to play defense. So if we can do that and we can stay out of the penalty box and not let 24 have the free shots up top, I really like our chances.
Jimmy, one more for me. Bit of a silly question, but your perspective is different this year. Obviously, behind the bench instead of on it. The team's having a terrific season. Are you having fun watching the success, or do you sometimes think kind of be nice to have the gear on again?
It's a good question. I think about it obviously a lot. I really enjoy where I'm at with the coaching. I find in the games, there's not really too much time to be thinking about any of that stuff. You're always trying to get guys prepared for what's next.
Yep.
And worrying about what's coming down the pipe. But it's after the games, maybe the part that kills me the most is the 2 hours prior to the game, where as a coach, you've kind of got most of your work done and you're just letting the guys get set up for the game. And that's kind of where you start to maybe think about, oh, I wish I was out there, or, it'd be nice to be out there throwing the ball around. But once the game starts, all that's forgotten. And then throughout the week, I don't really have too much time to myself, between working at Vimy Ridge and I'm coaching a junior A team and then getting all the video and prep work done for the game, I don't have too much time to think. So I'm happy my hands are full, but they're definitely, every game when it's about to play, I sometimes the thought creeps into my head that I'd like to be out there. And I give Keenan always a good hard time about, you could use me if you needed, if we ever needed a pinch. If a guy were to go down, and he just laughs at me and tells me I'm done. So,
so there'll be no Reg Dunlopping for you, is what you're telling
me. No, there'll be no Reg Dunlopping. I don't know how I would do too. I think the game, once you're out of it, I think it's not easy to get back into it. So I admire what those guys are doing, and I'm grateful that every player on that team for the Edmonton Rush is appreciative of what I do, and they're receptive, and they're just great guys to work with.
A tough question before we go. You had a vote. Who would be the Rush MVP?
Oh, we had to have a vote. That is a tough question. We've had some guys be. It's a good. I would actually probably leave it in the hands of our captain, Chris Corbeil. He's done a lot of things, either him or Aaron Bold. Obviously, you know, he's stolen us some games, and he's really given us, you know, 13 quality starts out of 14, which is difficult, I think, in any sport for any goalie to do. So I would lean towards one of those two guys. I tend to favor the back end because, you know, for those of you who come out and seen our games, we go as our defense goes. And, you know, if it's not one of those two, I'd probably put Kyle Rubish in a, you know, close third because he draws their top offensive guy every night and seems to take the ball away from him for fun. So those three guys are they're probably the guys that I'd be looking to as our MVP.
Yeah, it's a good one. Just like when they vote for top defensive player between Corbeil and Rubish, it's going to be very tight this season. They got a lot of good guys to pick from. Jimmy, best of luck trying to go 15-16-0.
Thank you very much. You enjoy the sun. It's nice out these days.
It is beautiful outside. Love it. You guys should get an outdoor lacrosse game. Do that.
That's the box. That would be great.